Welcome back to Upstage Conversation, your favorite movie musicals podcast. My name is Carrie, and I am back with Jay.
Hello, hello, hello.
And this time we are talking about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. We had wanted to do this for spooky season, but, well, it's not Christmas yet, so I guess it's still spooky season.
Fair enough.
In one way or another. Yeah, this is the 1975 cult classic film, which I feel like a lot of people don't realize is based on a 1973 London musical simply called The Rocky Horror Show. Now, Jay, you've wanted to do this on this show for a while, and would you care to explain why?
It's a very obvious reason for anyone who knows me. I think this is one of the worst things ever. I hate the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I don't like any of the culture around it. I don't like the midnight showings where people go and sing the songs. That feels like a nightmare to me. Like if ever there was, like if you wanted to do a horrible prank on me and be like, oh, we're going to this great comedy show or something like that, and then we show up and it's like a midnight screening, a live screening of Rocky Horror Picture Show with people singing and dressed up. That is like my poltergeist. I hate it. No, I don't.
What is it do you not like about it? Is it just?
I think it's just. You know what it is, and I'm normally. Sorry, I'm not normally this type of person. I think it's just too white. Like, I think it's just, it's such a white thing. I don't get it.
Okay.
But I will say
that's fair.
It's super white, right? It's super white. But yeah. What I will say about the Rocky Horror Picture Show that I think is undeniable. Tim Curry is amazing, right?
Yes.
Like, his performance is amazing. I will give him all the credit in the world. I would never take that away from him, considering other things that we've all seen Tim Curry in. Like, it is such a bafflingly different performance, right? Like, he is truly, like, of his generation, like, one of those people who just kind of, like, melds into a role, and you just forget that it's him. So, like, starting from a point of, like, respect for the movie in and of itself, like, I give Tim Curry all the credit in the world. Also, I like meatloaf in this because who doesn't like meatloaf?
Right.
and that's it. That's okay. That's where it ends for me.
Let's talk about the cast a little bit, because the Rocky Horror Picture Show was able to use many of the London original cast, and many of these folks also then went on to reprise the roles again when the show premiered on Broadway later in 1975. So you had Tim Curry, who originated the role of Dr. Frankenfurter, back for that. Richard O'Brien as Riff Raff, who was not only Riff Raff in the original, but also wrote the show.
Oh, really? Oh,
he created the show. Then you've also got Patricia Quinn as Magenta, and Nell Campbell as Columbia. So most of your sort of central cast of weirdos in this are returning from their roles in the London original, which is great, I think. And then you have the additional Susan Sarandon and Barry Bostwick, I guess, for some slightly additional star power. And then, of course, Meatloaf as Eddie. So
obviously.
Let's get into the plot a little bit.
Okay.
Jesus, sure. It's meant to be like a riff on like science fiction and horror, like B movies of like the 50s and 60s, basically.
Sure.
And that's really what it is. It's ultimately just like a sci-fi weird B movie that happens to also be a musical.
Yeah. I'm not mad at B movies, right? Like, sure. I grew up in the 80s. Like, A class movies were B movies, right? Like, that I'm okay with that. But I think I don't know. Like, it feels like a musical version of a trauma film to me. And I think that's probably the part that kind of turns me off to it. Like, I'm not a trauma guy. Like, I'm just not. Okay. I respect it. Like, I respect that it gives, like, starting budding, like, psychos like James Gunn a chance to, like, do, like, great work later on. Like, so I respect that sort of incubation aspect to trauma, but I don't like it. So yeah. I think there's part of it, like, it, and it has that feel to it all the time, which I'm just like, it's just like a series of general weirdos, and I'm like trying to figure out what everyone is doing. They're just all being weird.
I mean, there's a lot of weirdness. Like the basic plot is you have Brad Majors and Janet Weiss, who are just recently engaged, and they get caught in a storm, and they decide, oh, we just passed that weird castle back there. Let's walk through the rain and see if they have a telephone so we can call for help. So they go to the castle and they discover a party happening where Dr. Frankenfurter, a cross-dressing pansexual mad scientist, introduces himself and says, I have created life in my lab. And so Brad and Janet just sort of get whisked along as Rocky Horror himself is revealed. And then Brad and Janet are each separately seduced by Dr. Frankenfurter.
Yes, they are.
And then Rocky has an existential crisis after being alive for about 17 minutes, which, fair, in the grand scheme of things.
That's how life works, yeah.
And then it's revealed that Dr. Frankenfurter is not human, but is instead an alien, and he just wants to stay on Earth and fuck humans, but instead Riff Raff and Magenta, who are also aliens, are like, nope, we're going home. He doesn't want to go home, so they kill him, and the castle blasts off into outer space, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, standard three-act movie. just totally standard. Oh my god, this is so crazy. I've got the movie in the background, and again, like, Tim Curry is captivating as this character. Like, he really is. Like, he's so fucking over the top. But it's just like, he's got such a creep face. Like, he's got that huge like Joker smile and everything else. Like,
which is,
it
of
just
course,
works.
Accentuated by the makeup, too. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. It just, by all standards, like, that character should have, like in history, of the history of musicals, that character should be, people would be like, I don't know, like, he's like, claiming he's a transvestite, da-da-da. Like, there's all of these things, like, when this movie comes out, right? Like, this is, what, 1975, right? By all accounts, that character should be, like, thrown into, like, the bigotry dustbin of history, right? Like, don't talk about that, right? But he endures, right?
Like, has really glommed on to Dr. Frankenfurter as sort of an icon, especially in the time period. I mean, in a lot of ways, the Rocky Horror Picture Show and the Rocky Horror Show at large and the sort of culture that surrounded it was very similar to how Hair was received just a few years earlier, in terms of the whole, like, sexual liberation movement and stuff like that.
Like, the problem is, like, he's so captivating. I feel like in some ways he overshadows the rest of the cast, right? Especially Susan Sarandon's boring ass.
Susan Sarandon's boring.
I'm not a fan in many aspects. Sarandon. But, like, it just feels like he is just taking over so much of it. So, like, everyone else either feels, like, boring or very minor in compare. Yeah. Like, the other weirdos feel very minor comparatively, and then the two fucking straights are just, like, really boring. And now they're supposed to be. I understand that. But it's just kind of funny.
I mean, the only other person who really makes a huge impact is Meatloaf, who as Eddie, his entire job is to come in, sing one song, and then get chased back into the freezer and hacked to death.
Yeah, like, he's fucking murdered. Which, that's my favorite song, by the way.
Okay, let's talk about the songs. So Hot Patootie, Bless My Soul is your...
Yeah, absolutely.
That's your peak.
That's my peak. I will give it to the second one being somewhere, I think somewhere between Sweet Transvestite and I Can Make a man of You, or excuse me, I Can Make You a Man. I think Sweet Transvestite is probably number two. Let me tell you what my least favorite song is. Should be no shock to anyone. It's Time Warp. I fucking hate that song.
I'm not. I'm not surprised.
Time Warp sucks.
Time Warp is not my favorite. It's not my least favorite.
What is your favorite?
It's tough. I love Hot Patootie. I think the opening number, Science Fiction Double Feature.
That's pretty good.
I like Science Fiction Double Feature, but I will say that I don't love the film's version of Science Fiction Double Feature.
Okay.
I've heard better versions. I want to go ahead and note now, actually, just a few weeks ago, I saw a live performance of the Rocky Horror Show. Now, this wasn't them doing it along with the movie. This wasn't like a midnight film screening with like an amateur cast. This was like a professional stage theater performance of the Rocky Horror Show. And it was fabulous. And they did like, they gave out participation bags so that everyone could like put the newspaper over their heads at the same time and have like the noisemakers and whatnot and that sort of thing. And Time Warp is a very different experience when you are in a group of 150 other inebriated adults who are all doing the dance at the same time.
Yes,
which
I
understand
imagine.
It's very white.
Yes. Like, I don't know what the black version of this is. Like, we don't have a weird black play like that. But like, I don't know. I guess if you got a bunch of black people together and did like a Raisin in the Sun or The Wiz.
I was going to say The Wiz.
Probably The Wiz, right? The Wiz would probably be it. But
The Wiz has at least like several bangers throughout.
Yeah, it's got several good songs. It does. The movie itself, but like several good songs. I'm wondering if this movie, like, the reason why it's sort of so culturally significant is because of the trans aspect of it, right? Because I'm not in that community, so I'm curious if that's, and you are, like, I'm curious if that's part of the reason it endures so much, is that this sort of, like, in 1975 you just didn't have that, so it was kind of groundbreaking.
Right. I think like the Rocky Horror midnight showing, That sort of the culture that surrounded that, it created a safe space for the LGBT plus community during a time where there weren't a lot of safe places for queer people to be themselves. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, the Rocky Horror Picture Show is a grand piece of cinema.
Right.
But, I think it's camp and I think it's fun. And I do think the fact that, you know, you have, like, people have compared Brad and Janet's sort of traversal through this world of Dr. Frankenfurter and the aliens that one night, particularly Brad, who sleeps with Dr. Frankenfurter, as this sort of like, a depiction of queer awakening on film and whatnot. It created this connection and this sort of sense of belonging for a community that in the 1970s didn't have much in the way of mainstream representation that was remotely positive. So Rocky Horror Picture Show, I wouldn't say, like, Frankenfurter is ostensibly the antagonist of the movie.
Yeah.
But it's still a fun time from start to finish.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I disagree with that part, but I certainly understand. I certainly understand the appeal. Like from that perspective, I can understand that. I mean, it's interesting. Like, when you look at it from that aspect, it's hard for me to, like, super hate on it, because I'm like, I mean, it was kind of a good thing for folks back then. And, you know, if that made people feel included or feel good at the time, who am I to hate on it? That being said, I am an ally of the LGBTQ community, and this is fucking ridiculous-ass movie. Yeah, I'm just saying, hang your hat on something else, please. But I get it for the times. I do. I get it.
I mean, the last time I watched Rocky Horror Picture Show before watching it for the purposes of this podcast was in high school. And I wasn't like, oh, wow, I love this. I was like, okay, like, I get why people like this, and it's fine.
Right.
And then, I have an intimate relationship with the song Time Warp, because in pep band in college, it was like in our repertoire. So, like, we would play it at a lot of games. So I wouldn't say I love the song The Time Warp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of The Time Warp.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's
where I am. But being drunk on being drunk on mead in a group full of other drunk idiots, it can be a fun time.
I respect it. Look, I don't have to agree with it. I can respect that. Like, I'm sure there is a song I could sing a lot of if I was drunk enough. It wouldn't be that, but maybe.
Honestly, I think my other favorite song is probably Damn It, Janet.
Yeah, that's not bad. Right off the top.
It's a good intro song for a musical. It's got the right energy about it. The stuff that I don't love... I don't love Touch Me.
No. Mm-mm.
And I think
That scene. I don't like the scene.
I think the problem is I don't care for Janet.
That's fair. Again, I'm not a fan in many ways. Like, I'm not. I think she sucks. So,
yeah. And, like, I normally like to talk about the differences between the stage show and the film, but when it comes to Rocky Horror, there's really not much.
No,
like, they didn't really reorder anything. It's really this, like, it's all that's it. Everything is the same, except it's not on stage.
Right. I was gonna say. I mean, you got, like, the principal actors largely are the same. Like, they're gonna have the same type of performance. They probably maybe don't have to be, like, I feel like on stage versus a film, you don't have to be on stage, you have to be a little bit bigger, right? Because you've got more space to fill. But it's probably largely the same. Which, by the way, is kind of cool. If you were a fan of the play and then you go to see the movie, you're like, holy shit, they got a bigger budget. Like, that's kind of dope, right? Like,
or I mean, for me, going in the opposite direction, having seen the film first and then being taken to see the stage show, and I'm like, it's the same. The one big difference is Magenta is on the stage, is a double role with the character of the usherette who sings science fiction double feature at that bookends the show.
Right.
So in the film, they replace it with the sort of now iconic lips as the opening credits are rolling. But normally this is supposed to be an usherette at, like, a shitty little drive-in singing about the story that you're about to see that's playing at the theater that night.
Right.
So that was really the only thing that stood out to me. But yeah, I don't know. Rocky Horror is it's a cultural icon for a lot of reasons. It's by no means my favorite, but I enjoy it sort of because of how campy it is. I have to imagine, Jay, if you were presented with the opportunity to see the Rocky Horror Show on stage without the film being involved in any capacity, you would not be interested in doing that.
That feels correct to me. That feels like a correct assumption. No, I don't think so. And I think it's you people's fault. Like, it's not you, Carrie, but it's all you Midnight singy song fans. I think it's you. You know,
white people like me. Yeah,
it's white people like you, Carrie. Not you, but white people. Like me. No, no. It, you know, honestly, I think where I got super turned off to the idea of the Rocky Horror Picture Show before I even saw it, and then I was like, am I being a dick, or like, is this like as bad as I think it is? And I watched it, I was like, this is not for me. Is the Drew Carey Show. Like, they had a whole thing about, they had an episode about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I was like, and I was a huge fan of that show. And I was like, what the shit are they doing? Like, what, what is this? And so then I watched it like maybe a year or so later. And I was like, no me gusta. Like, I was not a fan. But I think that's where I first saw like them doing the time warp. I was like, please stop doing that. Like, I like the show and I don't want to have to never watch this again. But yeah, look, but there is part of me, like I said, there is part of me that realizes its cultural significance. So
sure.
So there's part of me that's kind of like, maybe I would enjoy it live. Like, maybe I would, I don't know.
Like, knock back a few shots.
Yeah, I'd have, no, like, I'm definitely going, in with some, you know, liquid confidence or other substances. I mean, you never know. But maybe I would. I don't know. I wouldn't say I'd rule out seeing it live. I would, okay. I will unequivocally rule out watching it again at home. Like, I'm not okay. gonna do that. I don't like this version. It bothers me. But
I mean, here's the thing is,
but I don't,
you know,
think I would rule out seeing it live.
Okay. Having seen it live and then like a week later watched it at home, like it is one of these things that you sort of have to experience live to get that full Rocky Horror experience.
Sure. That's fair.
But I mean, look, I saw a Rocky Horror Show in a theater in Clarksville, Tennessee, and it doesn't get any whiter than that.
it does not.
No, it does not. I think there were two people of color in the theater, and they were both on stage.
I was going to say.
And they were both great. They were both fabulous, I must say.
I will say this. If you're ever at an event and you can count the amount of people of color that are there,
yeah,
then there's not a lot.
No.
Like, no, I bet you can't count the amount of white people. It's like, I don't know, 1,000?
The rest of them.
The rest of them. Right. So,
yeah.
But yeah, look, I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to seeing it live. I don't want to spend my money, though. So somebody's gonna have to donate to the show to get me to go see this. But I'm not going to a sing-along at midnight. No.
Yeah,
I'll end up in prison. I will kill everyone there. Like, I don't want to do that.
So I don't know if you're familiar. So a few years ago, they did the Rocky Horror Picture Show live on as like one of these live musical things. They did it on Fox.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
It had Laverne Cox as Dr. Frankenfurter.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Which was, I think, the only good choice they made.
That's kind of cool.
It was, yeah. It was one of these things where, like, much like you saying that Tim Curry sort of outshone the rest of the cast in the original film, Laverne Cox had a great performance and absolutely outshone the rest of the Fox cast. But it didn't help that the rest of the Fox cast just like wasn't very good.
Yeah, I'm looking at images. Okay. Yeah, I mean, this looks like fairly low rent, like ironically, but Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to watch this either. I'm not going to look this up to watch it. But yeah, that feels like a good choice though for Dr. Frankenfutter. Like,
yeah,
she feels right.
Yep.
And again, she's, so, I mean, not that Tim Curry is like a gay icon or anything like that. I mean, I guess technically he is now.
I would say this, yeah, he absolutely became one the moment that this released.
Yeah, that's fair.
And worth noting is the fact that this was really his first full-time acting gig.
Really? Oh, okay. I did not know, which is, that's
this
wild.
This was, incidentally enough, having already mentioned Hair, he began his acting career in Hair and then met Richard O'Brien, who then wrote Rocky Horror Picture Show and cast Tim Curry as Dr. Frankenfurter, I believe, his first film role. So,
yeah, it says after Rocky Horror Picture Show, Curry began to appear in many films. Yeah, this was his first. Wow, dude, what a jumping off point. Like, holy
what a
shit.
Way to like be like, hi, I'm new.
Yeah, like, but I mean, in fairness, in 1975, he did this and still had a career. That's amazing. Like, that's amazing that people are like, oh, you're a transvestite. We're gonna pigeonhole you in this, and you're never gonna be anything else. Like, to start out, that's a risky move. Like, that's a really risky move. And he's had an amazing career.
I
think he's still acting. I mean, I always enjoy when he shows up and things.
Of course, he's been relegated to a wheelchair for the last several years after having a stroke.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It is a shame. I believe he's still doing some voice acting, but I'm not 100% on that. But yes, love Tim Curry. Love him in this. Love him in everything he's been in.
He's crazy. So,
in any case, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Thanks for watching it, Jay.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I mean,
the next time I'm on this show, I'd like to be on an episode where I like the movie. That would be awesome.
To be entirely fair to myself, you're the one who wanted to do this.
No, that's true. That's true. No, I don't blame you. I'm just saying, If I for some reason suggest something like, you know what, I really don't like that movie, and you'd be like, don't do this to yourself. Like, pick something you like. So
yeah, I guess to sort of wrap up, Rocky Horror, best experience live. I don't know that watching it at home on your home television is really the way to go. If you want the Rocky Horror experience and you have the opportunity to see it live, especially after imbibing some sort of substance, go that route.
Okay, that's fair. All right.
So that wraps it up for this episode of Upstage. Don't forget to listen to all the other shows on the Nerdpocalypse Network, which includes the Nerdpocalypse Podcast, Dense Pixels, and weekly preview episodes of Look Forward. Oh, and Black and Black Cinema, which I forget about because I'm not black.
Yeah, see? See, this episode proves it. This episode
proves it. And then the other premium shows, such as full episodes of Look Forward, The Airing of Grievances, The Man with the Golden Tongues. Am I missing anything? Did that cover it?
Nope, that's it.
Cool.
And No Time to Bleed, which is coming back
eventually.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a new episode of Airing of Grievances about the Calzone that just released, so you can listen to that after you're done with this.
And find out what my fear in men's bathrooms is. My deep fear.
In the meantime, thanks again for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of Upstage. But in the meantime, I'll leave you in anticipation for that. Thanks!